So today's reading is from the second chapter of Matthew, verses 1 to 12, and it can be found on page 966 in the church Bibles, which are coming around if anybody wants one. Probably pop your hand in the air. David, to your left. Okay. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born to the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all his people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may too go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning again. I just had a disaster down here and spilt water everywhere. Natalie's like, trying to clear it all up. What disaster. Anyway, as I said, Happy New Year to everybody. I hope you had a great Christmas and a great New Year. This point in our year, it's the classic question is, have you made any New Year's resolutions? And I decided not to bother asking that question because statistically, by the 6th of January, most of us have probably failed in that New Year's challenge anyway. So there's probably not much point in even asking the question. Has anyone tried and failed already? Yep, a few people, hands are going up there, because a few people are going, "Oh, I want to put my hand up," but yeah. Okay, so I kind of did ask the question anyway, but never mind. So New Year's resolutions. But what I wanted to ask is, have you had chance to look back over the last year? And as importantly, have you had chance to look forward? Have you had chance to look forward to what this year holds? What's going to happen? What's in the diary already? Is the diary full already? Lots of nodding, going, yes. Is it full of stuff that you want it to be full of? Or is it full of stuff that you think you have to do? Is it full of stuff that you're excited about? Or is it full of stuff that kind of makes you a bit nervous and a bit anxious? Doesn't mean it's wrong. But how are we feeling about this year? Has this year got things in it that are significant markers in your journey and in your life that you're thinking about and pondering about? For us as a family, we've got our oldest Matthew becomes a teenager. No idea what that means, but everyone says teenagers. We're praying that that's not true. But he becomes a teenager this year. But what events are in that diary for this year? And have we had chance to bring all of that to God? to ask him what he thinks about all of this stuff. And what about the stuff that you don't want to think about? That perhaps you thought about last year or the year before, or a dream long gone that you've kind of gone, oh, well, that's not going to happen, is it? Have you talked to God about that one too? You see, I'm really excited about this year. I'm excited about what God is going to do with us and through us as a church community. Not because it's any different to any other year, but I just think God always builds on what he is doing. He always does a new thing. He is always growing and developing. His purpose and his plans for us are to prosper us. And that grows and grows and grows. So he's got more for us this year than he had last year, because he's building on what he has already done. So that's my question at the start of this year. To us as a church family, what does God want to do this year with you? How does he want to release you into who he's called you to be? How does he want to set you free to be the person that he's called you to be a little bit more this year than last year? And I want us to think about that in the context of this reading. And then there's one more passage that I want us to look at, which is Jesus as he starts his ministry as well. So let's hold that question. Hopefully those questions haven't made you then thinking, oh my word, this year is going to be a nightmare. Hopefully there's still some excitement about this year, because there should be. Because even the stuff that you haven't planned, God's got plans. He's got stuff that he wants you to enter into and to be a part of. He's got a new song, as Natalie shared, for each of us to sing. The verse that that Cameron brought to us, the plans I have to prosper you, was written to a people who were in exile, were away from the place that they were meant to be. There was no hope. There was no expectation. They were gone. They were out of the place that they were meant to be. Yet God speaks to them, I have a plan, and it's a plan to prosper you. For those listening that are gone, yeah, right. How's that going to work out? So even for some of us who kind of go, listening now and thinking, how's that going to work? It's into that place that God speaks. It's into that place that God speaks his prosperity, his life, his new hope. He raises in us a new song. So how does that fit with our reading today? Classic reading for today, the reading and the reminding of the magi coming, the wise men, the kings that come to visit Jesus. And there's lots written about this. We have our classic, we had our nativity before Christmas, where we have the wise men and the shepherds all in the inn, the stable together. And there's lots written. And it says in our opening, the opening of this reading, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. So it fixes it in a place and a point. And if anyone saw, there was an article or a video article on the BBC website was looking at what it could be that the star was that happened. And the scientific evidence for some planets aligning together that fits with dates and times. But it was after Jesus was born. So probably that classic thing that we have of the kind of Jesus in the stable and the wise men and the shepherds being around probably isn't really how it was. The shepherds perhaps visited earlier and the wise men later. And probably, more likely, Jesus had moved out of the stable and was actually in a house by this point. But we don't know. There's not enough written down to tell us any of this stuff. But the reading into it and the journey they would have had to take and the way that the star would have directed them, it's probably more likely. But the wise men, the magi, is an indicator and a pointer for God's people reading this of the ultimate purpose and the ultimate plan that baby demonstrated and was showing. You see, till that point, God had been speaking to his people. But the Magi represent people who were outside of the Jewish community, outside of the world in which Jesus was born into, who were looking in, who were looking in to see what was happening, to see what the literature and the writings and the stars were telling. They'd read many manuscripts, but when they saw a star in the sky, they knew that something new was happening. They knew it symbolized a new thing. They knew it symbolized a king had been born. And they knew that they had to come and see. They had to drop everything. They had to travel the distance to go and see this new baby. And that journey obviously took them to where they thought a king would be born, in the palace. But he wasn't there. And they eventually found him, as the story says, that they found him in the stable. And again, we've got three wise men, the classic story of the nativity, three wise men. We don't really know if it was three wise men. There was three gifts, so that was an assumption. There's writings that give us three names of three kings. So kind of all that's been brought together. But generally, there would be a trail of people. So it probably wasn't just three wise men, even if it was just three. It would have been a whole group of people traveling with them. The camel that traveled, not physically a camel, could be camels, but that kind of sense of that trail that people would walk together as they went to visit a place. But the wise men came to that place to find a baby. A baby that represented a new thing, a new opportunity, building on what had been, fulfilling what had been said. They knew that. That's why they came. They knew that scriptures talked about a king being born that was significant. And this story and this Sunday, if you didn't know, is called Epiphany Sunday. In the church calendar, it's Epiphany Sunday. And Epiphany talks about the revelation that this brings. The wise men representing those outside of the Jewish community, as they were called then, the Gentiles, us. That the revelation of God as a baby into our world, representing who he was and all that he was bringing, was not just for the Jews, not just for the Jewish people, but this represented the people from outside of that community who would come and see a revelation to the Gentiles of a king being born into our world. And that's a revelation for each and every one of us. That's what this represents. But it's a revelation in a moment, because we use the word epiphany now. That I've had an epiphany. I've had a moment. It's a revelation. And I believe that God wants to give us, each of us, a fresh revelation of who he is and what he's about for this year to come. That we might continue to walk in his ways, that we might continue to step into all that we have. Because that revelation is explained and is pictured in the giving of gifts in this passage. It says, then they opened their treasures and presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And again, you probably will know that each of those gifts symbolized something of who God was, who this baby being born in a stable was. The gift of gold, given as a symbol of a king. That Jesus was coming as king. The fulfillment of the line of kings that had come. Each of them bringing something of what God was like, but all of them falling short of his fullness. But here was a king that was coming to establish his kingdom in this place, on earth. A symbol of a king. We had frankincense. Frankincense was incense that was burnt in temples, and it pointed to his kingship, his godship. So we've got a symbol of a king, but we're reminded too that he was God, fully man and fully God. That this baby was God's representation, his very presence made human and placed on this earth. But he was God. And he fulfilled all of God's purposes and plans and promises. So that it says that in Jesus all his promises are yes. Because he fulfills all of them for us. So we've got a king, we've got God, and we've got myrrh, symbolizing what this baby would grow up to be. As we move out of our Christmas season, and we'll head towards Lent and then Easter, we're reminded this baby doesn't stay just as a baby, but he grows up. And ultimately, he gives his life. That the fulfillment of the kingship of God, the kingdom of God, can be fulfilled on earth through his death. And for each and every one of us, that's something we need to keep receiving. We receive it once, but we keep receiving it. His death on the cross. That his purposes and plans can be fulfilled. And there may be some of us today who are not confident of that, who are not certain of his death for you. And it feels like strange, we've just done Christmas, we haven't got to Easter yet, but it's really important as we start this year that the fulfillment of everything that God has for you is fulfilled in the death of Jesus. And that's where it starts. It doesn't start with our works. It doesn't start with our energy. It doesn't start with our effort. It starts with his work in our lives. And so for some of us, as we think about this year to come, we just need to remind ourselves again that it's all about him. It's all about Jesus' death on the cross. And for some of us, as I said, that may be something that we just need to know afresh, or we need to know for the first time that it's not our works and it's not our effort that gets us to be with God. It's saying, yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me. But it doesn't end there. Their journey didn't end there. It says that they had to go a different way because there was obstacles even for Jesus at that point, because obviously the king, the Herod, didn't want this to happen. He knew that this was significant and he didn't want it to happen. So they had a dream and they were told to go a different way. And they journeyed into Egypt and they were there for a bit. And then when it was safe, they came back. Jesus' journey wasn't simple. Our journeys perhaps are not simple to this point. The journey of this next year perhaps is not going to be simple. There's things that we know of that are ahead. There may be things that we don't know that's going to happen this year. But God's kingdom is present. God's kingdom is possible. His hope, his life, his future is possible for us today. He says to pray it in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. We can receive that. So what does the kingdom look like for you at the start of this new year? What does the things in your diary look like to see the kingdom of God come? What things perhaps need to go out of the diary? Because actually they're a distraction. What things need to be added into the diary to to enable space and time for God to do what he wants to do. And what's stopping you? What's stopping you from being who God's made you to be? What are the fears? What are the insecurities? What are the words that people have spoken over you that limit you? What are the things in our lives that our upbringing, the families we've been in, the environments we've been in, have kind of curtailed who God made us to be? Who says we can't do all that God says we are able and capable of doing, because we're able to do even more than we can ask or imagine? What stops us? And starting next week, we're going to start looking at the book of Ephesians in the morning. And Paul's going to introduce the book of Ephesians to us next Sunday. And then we'll begin to look at chapter by chapter. We're not going to produce a term card because we're not totally sure how long we're going to spend in each place. Not because we're not planned, but because we just want to know what we want to stay in the places where God is really beginning to do work. But we're going to work our way through Ephesians. And our question is, what does it look like to be whole? What does it look like to be free of those things? What does it look like that we might be people who can say yes to everything that God has, and we can say no to the things that we need to say no to so that we can say yes to what God is doing? What does it look like to not answer and to respond out of the fears of our hearts? But we can respond and say yes to God because we're part of and included in a community of people who are saying yes to all that God wants for us. That's God's heart for each of us individually and us as a corporate community. That we are a people of God who hunger after him and who say yes to all that he has for us. That others join us. I think this is the first Sunday, and it felt quite significant in some ways that we didn't have many hands going up or any hands going up of new people, because it feels significant to be family together at the beginning of this year. But every week last year, someone's hand went up to say that they were first or second time. We're expecting more of that. But there's people who you already know. There's people who you already talk with. There's people who are in your workplaces, who are in your streets, who are in your families, who are in your households, who God wants to get to know. He wants them to get to know him. And my excitement for this year is that we're going to see some people come to know Jesus. People that we've been praying for. People that we've been longing to see God do something. That through our small communities and through the gatherings, we'll begin to see people who begin to scratch the surface of finding out what it means to follow Jesus. And we're each and every one of us part of that journey. A few people at the front cannot do that because we're not in your workplace. We're not in your street. We're not in your home. It takes each and every one of us to be a part of that, because that's God's purposes and plans for us. And as I said, this is an epiphany moment. It's an epiphany day that reminds us of the revelation of God. And I just want to read one more passage to us, which points us again to a moment. It's the moment when Jesus had grown up and he was baptized. And he points to that moment when he says, this is what I'm about. This is what it's all about. He's calling his disciples. He's calling people to follow him, to be a part of his journey of following God and doing his will. And it says, Jesus went from Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And we've talked about this many times, but it's good to be reminded of what it is that God through Jesus is about in our lives and in this time. It says, proclaiming the good news of God, the time has come. He said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The time has come. The word is kairos. It's a moment. It's a moment and an opportunity for the kingdom to enter into each of our lives. That's what Jesus brings. It's not a thing that happens once and for all. It's a daily opportunity for the kingdom of God to enter into our lives, to deal with the stuff that stops us, things that hold us back, the things that cause us to be anxious and fearful. There's an opportunity for the fullness of the kingdom of God that has been completed and fulfilled in Jesus. There's an opportunity for that to come into our lives. The kingdom of God is near. How do we enter into that? We repent and we believe. We recognize in our lives, daily, weekly, monthly, the big stuff and the small stuff. We recognize the things where we are fearful, where we say no when we should have said yes, and when we say yes and we should have said no. We recognize those things and we say, God, let your kingdom come into this. That's what repentance means. We change our way of thinking. We change our minds about the way that we see things. It's less about saying sorry, and it's about recognizing where we've done something, and we operate out of the way that we think we're made rather than out the way that we are made. So repentance is just recognizing that we've got fear. We recognize that we've got anxieties. We recognize that we're scared about situations. We recognize that there's someone we need to talk to, and we really don't want to do it because we don't know what's going to happen. But we say your kingdom comes when we do that. That's what repentance means, and it's a daily activity in our lives. And belief is putting a plan in place to walk out, a plan that is built within community, that's built around people who can ask us, have we done it? Have we said what we're going to do? The main reason that most people fail in their New Year's resolution is because they don't tell anybody else that they're going to do it. Or if they do tell them, they don't give them permission to challenge them if they haven't. That's the main reason that you don't achieve the goals that you set yourself, is because you've not included a community of people around you who can say to you, are you doing the thing that you said you were going to do? You said you wanted to make space every day to pray. How's that going? You're actually doing it. That's what the plan means. That's what believing means, putting in place something to walk into. So recognizing where we're responding in a way that is not right, and we put a plan in place to walk forwards with people so that we might see it. And so as we look at this year and we expect to see God to do some amazing things, we expect to God to move in our lives, to have stories again of all that he does. As we look through the book of Ephesians and we're reminded of who God is and all that he has done, and we're reminded of who we are as a consequence of that. Let's daily, weekly, within our small communities, ask those questions. Where is God challenging me? Where is he stirring me? Where is he pointing in my life to stuff that is not the way he's made us to be? And where is he helping us to put in place a plan that means that we can walk forward into his kingdom and fulfillment of all that he has for us? So it's a moment of revelation. It's a moment that's open to each and every one of us. Not just the one-off big thing. Not just that I've come to know Jesus and my long-term eternal life is secure in him. But what does it look like? How different will my life be? How different will my diary be this time next year? Because of what God does with me over this next year. Will we be a people who come ready to engage in that over this coming weeks and months? Will we be a people who follow that journey of Ephesians, allowing God to speak to us? Whether we can make it every Sunday or not, we're listening to the recordings just to help us to have a perhaps fresh think, a fresh view, that we're reading the book of Ephesians ourselves and we're asking those questions. God, what is it that I read in this that is not the way that I live my life? What is in it here that is not the way that I understand the way things work? And help me within a community of people around me to walk this out. So I come back to the question when we're going to pray and worship to finish, because it starts with him and it ends with him. It starts with God, the creator of all things, and it finishes with a God who fulfills his creation in each and every one of us. What does this year hold for you? That may feel like a big, big question. But just break it down. Look at your diary. Look at the things that are planned for this next week, next few weeks, this next month, this next term. God, where do you want to be at work? Where do you want to bring your kingdom in my life and through me into the lives of others? So let's just stay sat down for a moment. I'm going to get us to stand in a minute. But let's just take a moment just to allow God to begin to clarify in our thinking what it is that he is saying to us. For some of us, it may be that we just need to be reminded of who this baby is that grows up to be a man that fulfills his call and destiny on this earth, that we might enter into our call and destiny. That he is a king, that he is fully God. It may be that already we're aware of God just beginning to point and put his finger. Remember, the difference between condemnation and conviction is that conviction is always specific because it comes from God and he knows our hearts and our minds. And so ask him, if there's a sense in which God is wanting to challenge you at the start of this year, he wants to press into something with you, he will be specific. If it's just a general feeling of yuckness, then it's condemnation. And you can just say, that's not of me, that's not of God. So ask him, what is it he wants to do? Allow him to be specific with you. Okay, I'm going to ask the band to come back up and be ready to lead us into some worship. And what I want us to do is, we could do a kind of response where we kind of say, if you want to kind of say yes, then come to the front. I'm pretty sure that we won't have enough people to do that in terms of prayer ministry team and to people pray over us, and we don't need to do that anyway. What I want us to do is just for you to take a moment. We've got loads of time. As I said, we've said before, the children's team plan to have our kids till 1:45. And if we finish early, they would prefer us to wait and for them to come down at 1:45. So if we finish early, we just get coffee rather than we have to go and get our kids. So that's our kind of plan, is to be definitely finished by 1:45. And if we finish slightly early, you've got a chance to pray and to have coffee and chat with each other before we go and get kids. So don't worry about the kids at the moment if you've got kids to collect. But as the band and musicians begin to play, I want us just to continue to have that moment, have that time, have this place at the beginning of this year. And when you're ready, I just encourage you to stand. To stand, you're standing to say, I'm going to step into all that God has for me. Don't rush, don't just kind of go, oh, let's stand up. Neil wants me to stand up at some point. When you're ready, when you want to say yes, yes to all that God has for you. And there may be opportunity, and there is opportunity, if there's specific stuff that you'd love someone to pray for you at the start of this year, then there'll be people around, Natalie and I, and some of the prayer ministry team will be around at the end if you want, or during the later on in the worship, and Natalie may come up with some other words and pictures that are helpful for us. But let's take this time, let's take this opportunity at the start of this year, not just to enter into this year as another year that's just going to happen, but let's step into this year intentionally saying, God, I want this to be about you. I want to see more of all that you have for me. So Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and do what it is you need to do in our lives.